Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Thanksgiving Eve service. Great to see you here. Father, we praise and thank you for this gathering tonight. We thank you for yourself. We praise and glorify you, for you are God. You are the Creator. You have made us. You gave us life. And you gave us this fellowship to gather together. We're just singing. Father, you are with us. We are on a journey together. We're in a battle together. We are serving you. We serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're the Lord of the harvest, both the physical food harvest, but almost so much more, the spiritual harvest of human souls. And Father, we are part of your kingdom. We want to honor you tonight. This is the time in our country. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day, very special holiday on the calendar. It's a time when we as a nation are to thank you. A lot of us have forgotten about that, but that's what it's about, to give you praise and thanks to you for all that you have done. We pray that you would help us, your Spirit would help us tonight in this hour, to honor you and glorify you, to lift your name on high, to express true thanksgiving to you from the core of our being for all that you are, for all that you have done. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Spirit within us. Thank you for all that will happen in this hour. We commit it to you. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much tonight for all of your grace and mercy and love. Lord, how we thank you for the salvation that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for our church. We thank you for each and every one who is here tonight and those who are not. We ask you to watch over us and keep us in your care and help us, that we might be able to accomplish all that you have for us to do. Lord, how we do pray that this church might continue on. Just thank you for the past and all you have done down through the years and how you have kept us through all the situations that we have faced. And we thank you so much for that. And well, Lord, we just pray that you'll bless your servants. I think of the Kellers there in Armenia. It has to be something difficult, I would think, to go into a land where you've never been before and begin a ministry. And so we ask you, Lord, to undertake for them and give them the wisdom and understanding. Think of this special project they have of teaching these two Armenian pastors and their congregations. And we pray that they might take on the burden of reaching out to others and reaching other people and establishing other churches there in Armenia. Lord, we pray that you would help us all to walk in fellowship with you and do your will day by day. We thank you that we live in a country that does celebrate Thanksgiving Day. Certainly this is the one holiday that you cannot mistake. If we're giving thanksgiving, who are we giving it to? It's Almighty God. You're the one who has poured out your blessings upon us, and we thank you for the heritage that we have as a people, that we can look back into history and see all that you have done for us from the very beginning until now. And we thank you for answering our prayers too, our Father, concerning the recent election. And we just pray that your holy will would be done regarding all these things. Thank you for our country. And thank you for our leaders. And pray that you will give them wisdom and understanding. And Lord, now guide and help us as we look into your word tonight. May we be encouraged. May we be strengthened. And may we be thankful above all else. In Jesus' name, amen. Throughout all the scriptures, we find people worshiping and praising God. The very first people offered up their sacrifice and thank offerings. Noah built an altar as soon as he came out of the ark to thank God for preserving them from death. Let's notice in Psalm 92 and verses 1 through 5, where it says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's the right thing to do, because God is the one who has made us, and he's the one who has, we are totally dependent upon. He's the one who is leading us and guiding us and helping us from day to day. Sing praises. It is therapeutic to sing and rejoice. It always does. It lifts your spirits, doesn't it? When you are singing songs of praise and thanksgiving and meditating upon who God is and all of that. Sing praises. Sing praises. It lifts up the spirits of those who are downhearted. You know, we can be very easily sometimes with the trials of life that come and all of that that we have to face. It's easy, isn't it? To be sorrowing or downhearted. And certainly, the Lord deserves to be praised and exalted. He pours out his grace and his mercy upon us every morning and faithfully keeps us through the night. He's always there. It's easy to thank the Lord when everything is going well. But what about when trouble is coming? It's not so easy then, is it? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's a little form here that the author is unknown. In everything, give thanks. Sunshine, cloud, or stormy days, when hope abounds or care dismays, when trials press and toils increase, let not thy faith in God decrease. In everything, give thanks. All things we know shall work for good, nor would we change them if we could. 'Tis well if only he command, his promises will ever stand. In everything, give thanks. He satisfies the longing heart. He thwarts the tempter's cruel dart. With goodness fills the hungry soul and helps us sing when billows roll. In everything, give thanks. You know, there are a number of outstanding examples in the Bible of those who continued to trust the Lord in adverse circumstances and praised him in spite of their difficulties. We might think of Joseph, the Old Testament Joseph, who suffered a great deal before enjoying the blessings. 17, I believe he was, when he was first sold by his brothers into Egypt. Oh my goodness. And then all that he went through there and ending up in prison and everything else. We think of Job and all that he went through, right? A man. God says that he was a perfect man, and yet, what happened? He ended up with all kinds of calamities. But tonight I'd like to think about Daniel, the great prophet, and how God worked in his life. No, Brother Steve, I'm starting in on Daniel Sunday night. But anyway, I'm going to do it regardless. I did this one before. This is one of my oldies. Anyway, so I didn't take it from him. Okay. So find you Daniel, first of all, Daniel the slave. Here he was as a teenager. Daniel and his friends were taken to Babylon. He had to leave his homeland and never return. Faithful servant of God, never was able to go back to Jerusalem or Israel. He could have seen himself as a victim and become bitter toward God for allowing this to happen to him, but he didn't. He remained true to his God and to his values. Here in Daniel chapter 1, notice verse 8, it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. God is active in his life. You see that? And he gave him favor in the sight of this man who had power over him, right? The prince of the eunuchs. And he did not compromise with the pagan culture. He didn't go along with them. He asked them to not allow him to do that, not make him do that. But he resisted the pressure that was put upon him. God blessed him and honored him before his keeper and gave him and his friends special knowledge and wisdom. You remember the story? They were healthier than any of the other captives, Daniel and his three friends. And even though they had a special diet, and even though they did not partake of the dainties of the king, yet God protected them and God blessed them in a very special way. So here we see that even as a teenager, as a young person, he was a slave, and yet God was with him to help him. Then we see the second thing we see here is Daniel, the sage or wise man. After he had gotten in with the Babylonian government, you might say, well, what in the world was he compromising? No. I don't think so. King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, you remember? That he could not understand. And he ordered his wise men to tell him the dream and its interpretation. No one could. So he ordered them what? To be executed. Hey, if you don't do what I tell you to do, folks, you know, this is it. And this is in chapter 2. Let's look at that for a couple of verses. Verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. It says, for this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And so they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. They were included. He said, okay, if you don't tell me what this dream is, then you're no good to me. You just go ahead and kill you. So we find Daniel asked for more time. If you read the whole story, you see, he says, maybe God can help us to understand what this is. And he prayed to God to reveal to him the interpretation. And eventually, he did. Notice here in verse 19 of chapter 2, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And he was thankful. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is the dark in the darkness. And the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. How in the world, you know, the kid, the Nebuchadnezzar didn't know what dream it was. None of the wise men did. And Daniel prayed, and God showed him the answer. That's pretty good. And he shows a deep reverence here for God and praises him for his greatness and his power. He gives God all of the glory. Notice down in verse 27. He says, Daniel answered in the presence of the king. He said, the secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon the bed are these. As for thee, O king, my thoughts came into thy mind. Wait a minute. Thy thoughts came into thy mind upon the bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that reveals secrets makes known to thee what shall come to pass. So here we see God is going to reveal to him what is coming in the future. He knows. You know, we don't know. We're in the same shape as these wise men of Babylon. We don't know what's going on, right? I wonder sometimes what is going to happen in our country with this new administration and everything else, you know. I'm hoping. But we'll see. We'll see. God knows, and he will work it all out to his glory. The king is pleased and acknowledges Daniel's God. Notice for verse 47. Let me see here. 47. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. So here Nebuchadnezzar is impressed with God that he knows all these things. He's able to reveal. And he is exalting his name. So Daniel and his friends then are promoted. Hey, that's good, isn't it? Yeah, they were going to be killed, executed. And now they're going to be promoted. Verse 48, it says, then the king made Daniel a great man, gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. So here, Daniel didn't forget his friends. He helped them as well. And now they're working together to see the benefit that comes to the nation. We were talking about that the other day, I believe. How God says that you should seek to benefit the place where you are, right? Even if, you know, they're pagan. And yet, you want it to be as well as you can. So we all have a part to play. Okay, then the last part is Daniel the steadfast servant. When the Babylonians were defeated by the Persians, when Daniel continued on as one of the wise men. And can you believe that? He goes from one group to another. He continues right on. He's one of the leaders. He's one of the head of all of the wise men of Babylon. He faithfully served the king, and it says he had an excellent spirit. He had an excellent spirit. He always was able to do the right thing. The other leaders of the empire were jealous. They were jealous of him, and then, and plotted against him, you remember? And they said, as Steve mentioned the other night, we won't be able to do anything against Daniel unless we bring up something about his relationship with God. See? That's the way it was. And they knew that he was faithful, true, and if they were going to catch him in something wrong, it had to be regarding his relationship with God. So the other leaders were jealous, and so they knew they had to do something. So what did they do? You remember? They went to the king and they said, oh king, live forever. You like that? Oh king, live forever. You're just so great. You know, hey, you know, we think it would be good if we would make a law saying you cannot ask anyone else for anything except the king for 30 days, right? I think it was 30 days. That's pretty good. I am a great and mighty king. So he signed the paper, and not realizing what their intention was, but they knew that they were going to trap Daniel. So what did Daniel do? He kept right on, doing the same thing he had always done, right? And he didn't even try to hide. You know, you would think, perhaps, if you knew this paper had been signed, that maybe you would make a few changes. At least close the door, pull down the shade, and then nobody will know it, right? That's the way we reason sometimes, I think. I know I do. Maybe I shouldn't say that. But anyway, I'm not done. Anyhow, we find here, Daniel continued right on. So they convinced the king to make this decree, and he did. And it says that, you know, that it's weird. The law of the Medes and Persians was once a decree was made, there's no changing it. It has to, you have to obey it. You know, there's no, you can't just say, oh, well, I didn't mean that. You have to go through with it. So that's what happened. Look here in chapter 6 and verse 10. Chapter 6 and verse 10. Let's see. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before God. So he knew the danger, and yet he continued right on being faithful to God. He made no effort to hide. He maintained his devotion. And he gave thanks. He trusted God to protect him. And he was delivered. Look at verse 22. Notice, this is after he was put in the lion's den. You know the story, right? He was put in the lion's den because there was no way of changing the decree. That was what was going to happen. So anyway, verse 22, he says, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. He never did anything against the king at all. It was all a lie that they told. Verse 23, it says, then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, their wives, and The lions had the mastery of them and broke all of their bones and pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den.
Wow. The whole family, right? All of them. How many men were there?
I don't know. It doesn't say. But there were quite a few, I think. They accused Daniel, and now, since he was not innocent, they're the ones that are guilty. And you know, I was thinking about that when Pastor Steve was talking about that Sunday night a little bit. It occurred to me, I think the king might have been miffed that these guys had tried to pull this trick on him, you see. And so he said, okay, if that's the way you want it, we'll just get rid of you and everything about you. And they were destroyed. And we find here, the king recognized that God had protected Daniel because of his faith in him. Daniel was faithful throughout his life. And even if you would go on further with Belshazzar, and even into the Persian Empire, Daniel kept on. He just kept on being faithful and serving God, and the Lord worked it all out for him. From time he was just very young until he reached an advanced age, he continued right on serving God faithfully in a pagan situation. You know, that's the thing. Think of that. You know, well, we sometimes say, well, we can't do that because Jewish people are, you know. No, you can't. God can use us if we'll be faithful to him and give him the glory he's able to lead. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, you are always there. Through thick and thin, through good times and bad times, we thank you that you are with us. And I pray that we would ever remember that and not allow ourselves to be downhearted or distraught. Help us to be encouraged and strengthened, and lead us and guide us in all that we do, that we would be pleasing. We just thank you for our church. Thank you for each and every one who comes here and who serves in this church. Just thank you so much for every good and perfect gift that you give us. Bless your word now, and bless each one of us as we look forward to the Thanksgiving service tomorrow, as we give you all the praise for everything that we have. In Jesus' name.
And worship. Epistle to Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.